This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we got healthy and delicious food and inspiring music.
Neil Schofield will also join us to take us on an artistic journey of a powerful life lesson.
And of course, we'll have a devotional thought brought to us today by Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written.
Join us.
Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to a new episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Today is National Daughters Day, and we want to pause for a moment to celebrate all of the daughters in the world. Daughters, as our sons, are so special, and they hold a very special place in the hearts of many.
Yes, they do. And in our hearts, our daughter is Mariah. In fact, many of you met Mariah not too long ago as she hosted one of our shows with us. Yes, we love Mariah.
Yes,
she's so special. And if you have a daughter, we invite you to celebrate her today. Take her out to lunch or dinner. Send her a card or give her a call as you thank God for the blessings He's given you in her.
Truly, when we take time out to celebrate the blessings God has given us, we will be happier and open our hearts to be filled with His love and hope.
Amen. And speaking of hope, we can only find true hope in Jesus. And that's what this program is all about, sharing and finding the hope of Jesus. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1957, nine black students, known as the Little Rock Nine, were escorted by the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division as they entered the all-white Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. This followed Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus's attempt to block desegregation by surrounding the school with National Guard troops. In response, President Eisenhower activated the National Guard and sent 1,000 paratroopers to enforce the court order. This action came after the U.S. Supreme Court's May 17, 1954 ruling in Brown versus Board of Education, which declared racial segregation in schools unconstitutional, and the Little Rock School Board pledged to comply.
You know, what a powerful illustration of how bondage and darkness can grip our world. You know, the events at Central High School in Little Rock reveal a moment where systemic injustice sought to keep people enslaved by division and prejudice. You know, just as Arkansas Governor Faubus and the National Guard tried to prevent the integration of schools, we too face a spiritual reality where Satan and evil attempt to divide and destroy us. However, just as President Eisenhower intervened to enforce justice and freedom, God, too, has intervened in a far greater way. Through Jesus, God broke the chains of sin and division, and He offers us redemption and unity. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the promise of freedom and bring light into the darkness. And as He overcame the schemes of the enemy, we in Christ can overcome, too. You know, today He longs to guide us towards a future of true reconciliation and grace. And so, friends, will you accept His invitation today?
Amen. Amen. This morning, our friend Jeremy Dixon, the chef, is in the kitchen showing us yet another healthy food option. He is showing us how to make a Black Forest smoothie bowl.
Here is an amazing energizing Black Forest smoothie bowl that is an amazing way to have delicious fruits and vegetables. So we're going to have some frozen cherries. You can get these at the supermarket, so one cup of these. And then 2 cups of frozen bananas. We're going to add 1 cup of plant-based milk of your choice. And 2 tablespoons of cacao powder. And also, to make extra fish, we're going to use beetroot. That's right, beetroot. So we'll chop this off, get rid of some of the skin into chunks. We're going to put this in as well. And that's all blended up. We're going to pour it into a bowl. Pre-freeze it if you can, that'll make it last longer. Look at that. And part of the smoothie bowl is about all the garnishes. So we're going to put some walnuts in here. Going to put some strawberries, cacao nibs, some flaked coconut, and top it off with a bit of mint. And there you have a Black Forest smoothie bowl. Great way to start the day at breakfast or an awesome light dinner. Tastes amazing.
Does music really make the world go around? If so, why? Caravaggio's famous painting, The Musicians, hangs in the Metropolitan Museum. It highlights the importance of love in music. And in today's episode of Masterstroke, we look into why music has a powerful impact on our spiritual lives.
One of Caravaggio's most popular paintings is The Musicians. So let's take a look at it. This painting portrays an allegory of music and love. The man with his back to us is getting ready to sing. The music's hard to read, but a tenor and also an alto part can be identified. Then we have the young man tuning his lute. Like the others, he's wearing a toga, but his red sash just draws us to him. It identifies him as the key character. He has tears in his eyes as he's about to play. The man at the back playing the horn, well, that's the artist. It's none other than Caravaggio himself. Then we find Cupid on the left, reaching down for a few grapes. Caravaggio has painted Cupid in the scene to illustrate the theme of love in the music. A lone violin is sitting up the front. The artist has painted this so we can see ourselves as the missing violinist.
I put three daisies in the notebook. I watched the petals all fall out. It made a mark upon the paper.
The purpose of this painting is to demonstrate the value of music. As Shakespeare wrote in Twelfth Night, if music be the food of love, play on. Now, this is a secular painting, but let's think about how this could be applied in the spiritual sphere. Music is an integral and powerful experience in the Christian life. In fact, we should never underestimate the importance of music. The Bible says, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Notice we not only sing about our Lord, we sing to our Lord. You see, singing is a personal conversation with God. It lifts us into a close experience with Him. When we're going through tough times, our mind moves away from ourselves onto God. Caravaggio knew the power of music. What about you?
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
Also, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up With Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with music and more. Before the break, Neil Schofield shared about the powerful impact music has on our spiritual life. Right now, we want to share inspiring music with you. This group, Endless Praise, joins us now to sing Worth the Fight.
Gentle dawn, the colors that make all things belong. How to define belief, to find release, and run towards whatever is peace.
Right after this short break will be Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written sharing a thoughtful message from the Bible with us. How are you enjoying our program this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share an encouraging message.
Really good to see you today. I trust your day has started well and that you are looking forward to an incredible day, a great day blessed of God. Like you, I've been to some fascinating places. I mean, anything could be fascinating, I suppose. One place I went to twice in relatively quick succession that I'll never forget is Auschwitz, Auschwitz-Birkenau. Auschwitz was a concentration camp, Birkenau an extermination camp. It was at Birkenau where the ovens were. It was at Birkenau where the smoke went up the chimneys. It was at Birkenau when where the train loads of Jews got off, and then they were separated this way to that way to that way to that way. And many of them tragically had their lives taken. I recall being there, you know, and my wife is taking photographs. She's taking pictures of something through a glass window, and suddenly I noticed that she's crying. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I was taking photos of all these shoes, and I realized I was focusing on baby shoes, infant shoes, reminding her that babies lost their lives there. Now, babies, I suppose, are no more valuable than an adult, but there's something about that that touches your heart and certainly touched my wife's heart. It's a tragic place, Auschwitz, Birkenau also. I've been to Flossenbürg. I think that's the only other concentration camp I've been to. There are other famous ones, Dachau, just outside of Munich in Germany, Buchenwald and so forth. Auschwitz is, in fact, in Poland. We were being led around the place on one occasion by a tour guide. And this tour guide was far from happy. It was clear that he was actually rather miserable. It appeared that he was miserable because all day long he dealt with misery. Auschwitz is a museum now, and it tells the story of the misery inflicted by cruel people on innocent people. We had the opportunity to share with him, and I said to him, kind of what I'm saying to you now, I said, "You know, it occurs to me that Auschwitz is a museum." Or was it one of our group who said this? Either way, one of us said, "Auschwitz is now a museum." "Yes." "The horror is over." "Yes." "Evil didn't win." He said something like, "Oh, I wish I could believe that," or some such thing. But that's what we realized during our time at Auschwitz. Evil didn't win, and it didn't. Auschwitz is a museum today. People are not slaughtered there. People are not exterminated at Birkenau. It's a relic of the past, something we wish we could forget, but something we should never forget. I have said that Auschwitz is a place that nobody should go and everybody should go. It's just that kind of place that influences you like that. But here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. Evil didn't win. Jesus was nailed to a cross, but he triumphed on that cross. Satan didn't win. He was told in the Garden of Eden that he would bruise Jesus' heel, but that Jesus would bruise his head. He was promised 6,000 years ago in Eden that he would lose and he wouldn't win. And that's what happened. Satan did lose. Jesus did win. There's sadness in the world today. We cannot stop it. Evil is a powerful force. People who have no moral compass or are not guided by God, they're guided selfishly. Now, many of those people are wonderful people who do great good and make good decisions. But at the same time, there are people of that ilk who give themselves over to evil and misery and acts of carnage. And you understand what I mean. So we live in a world where hospitals do brisk business, where prisons are full. Don't hear very many empty prisons, where ambulances are kept busy, where emergency rooms continue to tend to people who are the victims of this or that. We live in an evil world. But here's the good news today. Evil doesn't win. You might be subjected to some of that. Illness, disease, loss, bereavement, a funeral, a loved one. You might be the innocent party in a divorce. You have no idea how badly I have been wronged, you might say. "Oh, I'm just so sorry." If you've had an experience, something like that, I'm sorry. But the good news is evil didn't win and it won't win. There's a tendency on the part of some to allow evil to push them away from God. You get mad with God. You don't understand how God could allow something to happen. It's not just, it's not right, it's not fair. I'll agree with you. Things are frequently unjust, not right, and unfair. But instead of allowing that to bump you out of the arms of God, why don't you allow that to settle you into the arms of God? You're in a terrible accident. You were wrongly imprisoned. You were slandered. Yes, and none of that is God's fault. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus commenting about the wheat and the tares. In fact, the landowner in that parable, as Jesus tells the story, says, an enemy has done this. Someone endeavored to ruin his livelihood. He didn't say, oh, why did God? He said, an enemy has done this. We live in a world that's full of evil. And it's not going to change anytime soon. But evil doesn't win. The horrors of World War II are behind us. We left that and entered into peacetime. Well, it's never long and there's another war, but then there's peace. Situations resolved, damage is done, but peace comes. Evil doesn't win. In the Bible, it didn't win. In the life of Christ, evil didn't win. There was a lot of suffering and hardship in the time of the early church, but evil didn't win. The time of the Reformation, many, many, many millions of people were persecuted and lost their lives. But evil doesn't win. You see, even if you're the victim of something awful, if you're faithful to Jesus, you have eternity to look forward to. Evil cannot win. So we're going to look at this world a little bit differently from now on. You might consider what's happening within the Beltway and you might say, oh, I just don't understand. Yeah, you don't and you can't, but that's because imperfect people are wrestling with really, really big problems. You might be looking at what's happening nationally or in your state or in your town, in your church, in your community, your place of work, and you wonder, man, it shouldn't be like this. There's so much going on that's heartrending and really difficult to endure. While all that might be the case, you can be buoyed up today knowing that evil doesn't win. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. The plan of redemption, the sacrifice rather for the plan of redemption was completed and evil was defeated on that day. So we're looking forward. We're positive now. Christ has won. God triumphs. The church is going to go through. And one day soon, the heavens will depart as a scroll. Jesus will be revealed. Gravity will lose its power on the soles of your feet. And along with all of the redeemed of all ages, you will go up. Evil doesn't win. God wins. Hey, have a great day today. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John.
Amen. And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And we want to make sure that you tune in tomorrow, friends. We're going to have an encouraging Reflections of Hope episode, music, and Dr. John Peckham will continue his series on knowing God.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional message and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we have a Bible promise that we want to share with you. And today's promise comes from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23.
It says, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise.
A beautiful promise. You know, friends, what a powerful promise. If we sit at the feet of Jesus, reading his word and spending time with him in prayer, he promises to share his heart with us and make us wise. I know I want that. I want that, don't you?
Amen. What an amazing promise. I want to be made wise by the King of the universe. Well, friends, we pray that you have had a wonderful time with us this morning and that your Wednesday will be great. We can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, you have spoken to our hearts, and we thank you. And we want to receive all the wisdom that you have for us. You've promised to give us wisdom beyond measure. And we thank you, Lord, because we believe in the promise. And as we continue on with this day, may you guide us, Lord, as we make choices. May they be choices that will lead us down the road that leads to life. And we thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.